All right.
So,
praise the Lord on this December the 26th.
Yep.
Lord's Day Sunday morning, day after Christmas, and also the last service before the end of the year. Next Sunday, while it will be in 2022.
Oh,
as terrible as this year's been, I hope we're ready to go through another year. And I know if you're saved, you are. And if you're not saved, you're to get saved. I see all of the things that's happened this year. And I'm sure it's rocked a lot of people's boat. I'm sure a lot of people have had a lot of reservations about some of the things that are going on in our day and time. And I've prayed about it and put my heart to understand our dilemma. Best I can tell, we need to return to God.
Amen.
We shouldn't have never left Him.
Nope.
But I do believe we're out of the will of God in America. And I do believe America needs to do a back face. I believe it needs to repent and return to God.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in our Sunday school lesson this morning. We're in Romans chapter 4. And we want to pray before we start our lesson.
Yeah.
And we want to remember these people have been devastated by this tornado. I think there was more than one tornado went through.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of loss of life, a lot of loss of property, a lot of loss of despair and hurt. And we're going to pray for them in this lesson. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house today. We thank You, Lord, for the grace of God, for the mercy of God, for the love of God, Lord, that, Lord, we don't know how we could go without it. Thank You for loving us, Lord, for forgiving us, for helping us each and every day. And Lord, Father, we pray even right now You'd forgive us, Lord, and hear our prayer this morning. We pray, Lord, Father, if You bless us upon our efforts teaching Your Word today. Lord, help us to be doers, not hearers only. But help us also to give the most earnest heed to Your Word, Lord, that we might be able to apply it to our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Might be able to get the benefit, Lord, of knowing not only the great truths and the great treasures, but also, Lord, the blessings exceeding great precious promises
mm-hmm.
to us, Word Father. We pray, Lord Father, for the families, Lord, that struggled through Christmas
mm-hmm.
yesterday, Lord. A lot of them had an empty seat, Lord.
Yes, they did.
That a loved one, Lord, used to sit there, Father, and they would enjoy Christmas together. Now, Lord, they're not there. And I pray, God, Lord, that You're the God of all comfort. I pray You'd comfort them and console them and carry them till they can walk again, Lord. A lot of young people, Lord, a lot of older people, Lord, a lot, Father, that, Lord, had plans, Lord, to be here but wasn't here yesterday. We pray for those families, Lord. A lot of families, Father, don't even have a home now, Lord. It was destroyed, Father, with the tornadoes that came through last week. And Lord, Father, we pray for those families, Lord. Pray they won't give up. I pray, God, Lord, You'd help them, Lord, to recover. Help them to rebuild. Help them to rejoice, Lord, in the end. We pray for them, Lord. We pray, God, Lord, You would see to it, Lord, that they've got the things that they need. I know You're able to supply our needs of Your riches and glory. And I pray, Lord, You'd help these people, Lord, that are hurting right now. These people, Lord, that wonder if anybody even cares about them. Your Word says, casting all our cares upon You because You care for us. I pray they'll run to You, Lord. I pray up in Your arms, Lord, they cry and give out, Lord, their complaints. And I pray, Lord God, You would hug them and love on them and help them, God, I pray, to recover, Lord. Oh, my Lord, I can't imagine a world without God. I can't imagine a world without church. I can't imagine, Lord, people trying to go without God. It just grieves me, Lord, to know so many, Lord, trying to live lives apart from God. Help them, Lord, to come to Themself. Help them, Lord, I pray, to get in church. Help them, Lord, give praise and glory to the One that's worthy to receive it. And I pray You bless our efforts today. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, I like to say I love the Lord. Hallelujah. We stopped last week in Romans chapter 4, verse number 12. And that was a good verse to stop at. In Romans chapter 4, you got several parts here. Verses 1 through 4, you got the justification by faith illustrated. Verses 5 through 8, you got justifying faith defined. And that's also mentioned in 18 through 21, which we'll get to that here in a minute. But you got justification is apart from ordinances. You know, a lot of people, they want to do something to justify themselves. And we covered that a little bit in Romans chapter 3 about God being the justifier. And then we got what we're getting ready to touch on right now. Justification is apart from the law. And that'll end Romans chapter 4. Now Romans chapter 3 ends with verse 31. And that's justification by faith. It honors the law. And faith and law, they parallel one another, and yet they're different one from another. And when I say that, I want to read two verses. Verse 5 of Romans 4. But to him that worketh not, maybe this man's not able. Maybe he's disabled. Maybe he's not able to do things that you and I take for granted. He can't drive to church.
Right.
He can't get there. But he can sit at home and watch church.
Amen.
God says to him that worketh not, this man can't do nothing. He's limited. I always think about that thief on the cross. He couldn't do nothing.
No. Right. Not a thing.
But believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteous. I thank God for that verse. Because everybody don't have health.
Right.
Everybody can't do what we all take for granted. And God didn't exclude no one. He included all in that verse right there. You know, if you can work, work. If you can't work, believe.
Right.
Both of them need to believe. But God included all in that verse right there. And I like this verse number 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I'm glad I'm saved by grace. And I'm glad I'm kept by the power of God. I've messed up about everything that could be messed up in my life. But I'm glad, praise God, there's one thing that can't be messed up. And that's the finished work of Calvary.
Amen.
And I'll tell you right now, Jesus didn't say I made a down payment. He said I finished it. And praise God, that finished work causes me to be blessed in the sight of God. God will not impute sin to someone that's trusting in the salvation of His Son Jesus. They're not trusting in themselves. They're not trusting in their preacher. They're not trusting in their church. They're not trusting in their good works. They're trusting in the finished work of Jesus. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You know, I got eternal life through Jesus Christ. It wasn't like I won the lottery. It wasn't like I was exceptional. I was like everybody else. I'd sin and come short of the glory of God. Like Apostle Paul that said, I found mercy because I did it ignorantly. And he said he's the chiefest of all sinners. So I say that about to take care of everybody that thinks they're a bigger sinner than Apostle Paul. Okay, we'll reread verse 12. That was our last verse. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. God gave the blessing to Abraham while he was uncircumcised, and then God had him be circumcised. And verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. God gave it to him before really he ever tried to keep the law or anything. God gave it to him in faith. Verse 14, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. And I'm an heir to the blessing of Abraham through Christ. I became a seed of Abraham. I was always jealous that I wasn't a Jew. And, you know, God took care of that. Just read a little Bible and you You find out God's giving you more than you'll ever understand. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. And if you be Christ, and I am, I'm not my own, been bought with a price, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I got in through Jesus into the line of Abraham, into the blessing of Abraham. And Jesus is how I got in. I'm a spiritual Jew. I wasn't born a Jew. I was born a Gentile. But I got born again, and now I'm a spiritual Jew, a seed of Abraham.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Verse 15, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there's no transgression. I couldn't keep the law.
Right.
And I've yet to meet anybody that can. I've met a few that thought they could. But Jesus did keep it. And he was tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. And thank God, since he did keep it, he allowed me to be justified through his righteousness. And even though I couldn't keep it, praise God, I got in through the mercy, grace of God, manifested through his son Jesus. And I couldn't make it to heaven no other way. Verse 16, it's an important verse here. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure. And you know what? We got sure promises through Abraham, through Jesus, from God. They couldn't be made sure without Jesus. But thanks to Jesus, now we've got the sure promises of God to all the seed, that included me. And if you're saved, that includes you.
Amen.
Not only to that not to that only which is of the law, but that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all.
Right. Amen.
And you know, it started out one man, and he's a lonely man. God made him a wife, Eve. Mm-hmm. And from them, where we all proceeded, Abraham was before me. And thanks to God giving Abraham the promise, the blessing, I got in on that through Christ. And he's a, you know, Abraham, he was called the friend of God.
Amen, that's right.
And God done a lot with Abraham.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I'm kin to him. Thanks to Jesus, I'm a seed, I'm an heir. And verse 17, as it's written, I have made thee a father of many nations.
Right.
You see, I didn't know Abraham. Jesus said this about Abraham. He said he rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it.
Amen.
And they went a little, got in over the head, trying to ridicule Jesus, or trying to be sarcastic. Mm-hmm. Thou art not yet 50 years old, and doest thou know Abraham? And then Jesus just kind of pulled the lid off of it and said, "For Abraham was I am."
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't like it.
Amen.
They got mad, but that was just truth. Before Abraham was, he said, I am.
Amen.
In John chapter number 8, Jesus said in verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day,
right,
and he saw it and was glad. Now the Jews being sarcastic and think they forgot more than Jesus could ever know, then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus answered them really a pretty clear conclusion. In his answer, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, that means of a truth, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now that's just too much truth for them. So verse 59, then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. They couldn't handle truth.
Amen.
And a lot of people dislike that. They get all mad when they have to face truth.
That's right.
But he's the father of us all.
Yep. Amen.
God said, I made thee a father of many nations. before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. God already knows what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know. I try to watch the news. I try to keep up what's going on. There's a lot going on today, and there's no way to keep up with it. Some of it I'm sad to hear about. Some of it I wish they knew better. I think a lot of them, they just don't know no better. But God, he declared the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46, verse 10, I believe. He declared the end from the beginning, saying, my counsel will stand, and I will do all my pleasure. But verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. You know, when everything looks as bad as it can get. Let me see if I can find this real quick. It'll go good right here. I have my old Bible, had it all marked up. I can find it real quick. I can quote what I'm looking for. But David down in Ziklag, he was somewhere he shouldn't have been. And he wouldn't have been there had not it been for Saul. But Saul was persecuting David's soul. And Saul wanted to kill David. And David fleeing from the wrath of Saul ends up down the Philistines. That's actually ends up down there with the enemy of Israel. And he's down there really just trying to find a safe refuge. And while they're out really trying to pretend that they're on the same side as down in Ziklag, they come back and their houses was burnt. Their family's been taken captive. And the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And when you're down like in Ziklag and all hope is gone, the reason I'm mentioning this, when it looks like they even spake of stoning David, because they loved their family. Here we go. It wasn't marked. No one I couldn't find. Let me mark that.
That's why I bring this Bible. It's all marked.
Yeah, my other one is falling apart. I still have it. But in 1 Samuel chapter 30, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captive that were therein and slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men come to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire. Their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept till they had no more power to weep. Now that's what I'm talking about. Who against hope believed in hope. I mean, they've lost it all. Verse 5, and David's two wives were taken captives, Anonam and the Jezreelitess, Anonam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons, for his daughters. But David, verse 6, encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Amen. And David said unto Abiathar the priest, Amalek's son, I pray thee bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop, and shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all.
Right.
So when you're in a situation like David and like Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Abraham had a part in this, and the part he had to believe God, and he had to believe God's word. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith. Yeah? There have been a few times I've been weak in faith. The Bible said in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And over in Jude, it talks about building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you are weak in faith, but in Jude, one chapter only, verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When your faith is weak, just look to God. Look to God's Word. Verse 19 says, he considered not his own body now dead. I think Abraham was 99 years old, I think, when God told him he was going to give him that promised son. And I think Sarah was 90-something. And it ceased with her as being able to have a child. Yeah. It's kind of like the virgin birth of Jesus by Mary. It was impossible for them to have a child. But God says to Abraham not to call his wife Sarai, but thou shalt call her name Sarah. For she, so shall her name be, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Now Abraham done tried to help God, had a son by Hagar, Sarah's Egyptian handmaid, and that was Ishmael, and he's an enemy to Jews today. And you know, God still blessed Ishmael because Abraham asked him to. But hold on here a minute. Yeah, here you go. Abraham was 99 years old. That's Genesis 17.
Yeah.
And let me see if it tells Sarah's age here. Well, he was 99 years old. I know she was a little younger than him. She was 90-something.
Yeah.
But it said it ceased with her. Let's see, Abraham fell on his face, 17:17. Abraham fell on his face and laughed, said his heart, shall a child be born unto him that's 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And that's close enough. God done impossible. That was a miracle birth. That Sarah was able to conceive, and it does mention about she believed God and received the strength to conceive in the book of Hebrews. Talks about Sarah believing God. But here it says, verse 19, and being not weak in faith. In other words, he believed God, even though it was impossible. When we talked about verse 18, who against hope still believed in hope, being not weak in faith, considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God.
Right.
You know, when God tells you to do something, no matter how impossible it is, if God tells you to do something, there's a reason for it. I think we're really struggling in this area.
Amen.
I think we're probably maybe just going through the motions rather than truly exercising faith in the hour we're living in, because there's so much conveniences to bypass God. Go to Walmart, go to Dollar General store, go to Lowe's, go wherever. But when they didn't have all those conveniences and they only had God, they walked in faith and they believed in faith and received those promises. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now that last part, giving glory to God, even though technically, scientifically, it was impossible. He didn't go with science.
That's true. True.
Trying to convey here, he didn't go with science.
If God tells you to do something, though, Brother Eddie, he's not going to just leave you. Right. He'll be there with you to do it.
Right.
And I think that's where our faith really comes in.
We need to be more about doing.
Like Abraham did.
Yeah, we need to be doing the things that God bids us to do.
Yes.
You know, I looked at this country as I was praying this morning. I pray for America a lot. I'm born here. And I thank God for America. But I remember back, I'm 68 years old. I remember back when America walked with God. And it walked more with God before I was ever born. But even after I was born, I watched America make some bad choices. And they let one woman, an atheist woman named Madam O'Hara, take the Bible and prayer out of our schools, and then we started teaching lies in our schools that we wasn't created, but that we evolved from some kind of monkey or some kind of organism or something like. I mean, just a lie straight out of hell,
right.
And that come with severe consequences. I know the Bible says in Psalms chapter 9, verse 17, all the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. I watch the news and I'm watching stuff burn. I'm watching stuff blow up. I'm watching people curse God and kill one another. And I'm looking and all I see really is this nation that used to walk with God, that was strong in the Lord, and in the power of His might, other nations trembled at the thought of America. Y'all remember Saddam Hussein?
Yeah.
You know, I don't doubt that he was mighty enough. But God was still with America. And even though Saddam Hussein said this would be the mother of all wars, he actually believed that he was Nebuchadnezzar reincarnated. He actually believed that he could bring America down, and he was prepared to do it. But I'll tell you right now, if God's hand hadn't have been upon America, America would have never defeated him over in Iraq.
That's true.
Now, America has always been a friend to Israel. Y'all notice they got a new prime minister. Only took them 25 elections to get Netanyahu out. Man, it's a crazy place over there. But not only did they get Netanyahu out, but we got a little change over here too. And I'm worried about the consequences of these changes, because I know that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Proverbs 29, verse 2. But getting back to the Sunday school lesson here, Abraham gave glory to God. Giving glory to God.
Amen.
Now this country, so blessed of God. I do believe it was raised by God. I do believe that God raised this country up to evangelize the world. Every missionary proceeded from America. The great revivals all took place in America. This has been kind of like the source of all of the songs and preaching and teaching and all of that stuff. It's all proceeded from this little country called America. Can you imagine a world? Can you imagine a world without America? Just think about it for a minute. America's gone. We're a socialist country. Who do they cry to? What do we do without America? What I'm trying to tell you is, America's in trouble right now as I pray for it.
Yeah.
I'm actually praying that God will overthrow the wickedness that's going on in our government right now. When I say that, let me explain it like this. The more God you've got, the less government you need.
Right.
The less God you've got, the more government you need. I guess you can see our government has done growed beyond the capacity of even functioning. It cannot even function. If they're able to somehow with a bulldozer push this bill through that they're trying to push through, thank God, and I hate to name names, thank God for Joe Manchin saying, no, we ain't going to do this. This is crazy. It's insane. If they're able to push that through, they're going to make, I forgot how many IRS agents just to spy on you to make sure you don't have an extra penny that you can't account for. I'm just telling you, this land had the blessing of God upon it. In America, you could actually succeed and have success and get the blessing of the blessing of God that's upon America. You could have success in America. Abraham gave glory to God. He staggered not at the promise of God. You know, we got promises of God.
Yes.
Abraham believed them. He didn't resist.
No.
You know, Stephen delivered a burning message there in Acts chapter 7.
Yeah.
And he said, you do always resist the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did. They didn't like that. They stoned him. But Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21, and being how much persuaded?
Fully.
Yeah. Boy, that's quite a statement. Brother Jerry, he is fully persuaded.
Right.
With no doubt, no reservations, no second thoughts. Fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. In other words, he just put it in God's hand. He said, Lord, you said it, I believe you.
Right.
And then God brought it to pass.
Right.
Verse 22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now we got in on that because of Jesus Christ. That imputation, God just gave it to him. And gave him righteousness, gave him the blessing, gave him that promised son, gave him, he said, look, north, south, east, west, I'm going to give it all to you. He gave it to Abraham, and we got in on that blessedness through Jesus. Now, verse 23, now it was not written for his sake alone. Now, Abraham already knew it, but how did we get to know it?
Right.
By the Bible.
Right.
It was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Notice verse 24, but for us also. Not only do we need to know about this blessing, but we need to know how Abraham obtained this blessing, and we need to do the same. But for us also, Carolyn, we can also do like Abraham. We can be strong in faith. You know, you might not have nothing but a little handful of faith, but that'll get you a long ways with God.
That's true.
I'm telling you, faith the size of mustard seed will get a lot, long ways with God. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead,
right,
who was delivered for our offenses,
right,
and was raised again for our justification. You see, that resurrection was important. Paul mentioned, if Christ be not raised from the dead, we're still in our sins.
Yeah.
I think it's in maybe 2 Corinthians. Now here we go. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul talked about that resurrection. Verse 12, now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if, verse 14, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching's vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. If the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they which also are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. No hope of ever seeing your loved ones again. He said, If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Paul's saying, don't just put your hope here, put your hope there also. Verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And you know what? He was raised again for our justification. Let me go just a little further than that. Let's go here, Romans 15. No, I'm wrong. First Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, that He was seen of Cephas. That still ain't what I'm looking for. I'm looking where it says He rose for our justification. Thought it was there. Well, He died for our sins, but He raised again for our justification. Maybe this very verse that I'm commenting on here in Romans chapter 4. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Look down here, my footnotes down here. But this justification is apart from the law. By the law, you can't be justified, but yet the law can show you your need of justification. Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But this justification comes from Jesus Himself. He's the one that justifies us in the sight of God. And my mind is jumping all over the place this morning. But He rose again for our justification. If He be not risen from the dead, Paul said, we're still in our sins. He said, let's eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. But you see, He got up. And because He got up, we got the promise of getting up. I didn't realize this, but I'm on my 18th year of reading my Bible through. By the end of this week, I'll have read my Bible through again 18 times. But you know what I realized? Apostle Paul never mentioned hell one single time, not one time. Because all his letters was to the church. And the church ain't going to hell. Church going to heaven. But he never mentioned hell one single time. I caught that on the slow train this week. And boy, I'm glad I ain't going to hell. I'll tell you right now. I was on the highway to hell. AC/DC sang that song. I was on that highway. And I'd have made it. I'll tell you it right now. There was somebody stood between me and hell. I couldn't get around him. And praise God, we had more than a close encounter. We had a head-on collision. And He forgave me my sins, saved my soul. Now I'm rejoicing in my Savior every moment of the day. Amen. But hallelujah. Anybody got any questions about this lesson here? We covered there, it looks like about, I don't know, 12 or 13 verses there. I'm going to stop right there on that verse number 25. We'll begin back in Romans chapter 5. And that's a good chapter. But anybody got any questions about that or about anything? Any kind of announcements? Wow, y'all a quiet bunch. All right, Father, we thank You, Lord, for this beautiful day You've given us together in Your house. We thank You, Father, Lord, to be not only in church today, but be able, Lord, to say we rejoice in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I think, Lord, that's the greatest gift anybody could ever receive. But Lord, we thank You, Lord, for this service right after Christmas. Ask Your blessings always, Lord, upon this little church in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.